Good evening and welcome to worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we ask now that you might quiet our hearts and our minds so we can hear your voice. Speak to us, guide us, direct us deeper into your word and into our faith. In Christ's name we pray.
Be at peace as you listen for the Holy One. Following each scripture reading, there will be 5 minutes of silence. Reading from Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For our ancestors won God's approval by it. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen, for our ancestors won God's approval by it. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from the things that are not visible. During this silence, you are invited to come forward to light a candle to signify prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer and anointing for you or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or offering, you are welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle, take communion, or exit the worship center. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For our ancestors won God's approval by it. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For our ancestors won God's approval by it. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. Hope is the theme of my life. I live with the joy of the Lord. I haven't always lived that way. Back in 2012, I had just got out of the hardest season of my life, but only to enter another hard season. It felt like God said, "Brandon, Ohio weather just sucks. I want you to get out of there. But send me to Alaska." Sometimes you just don't get what God is doing. I grew up on the east side of Cleveland. In the actual city of East Cleveland, it's predominantly African Americans. I grew up only knowing African Americans. I've never been around a white person, Hispanics, Asians, or Arabics, just African Americans. I've never gone out of East Cleveland until I needed a job. So I start job hunting downtown Cleveland, looking for a job at a bar. In the first bar I went into, they hired me on the spot. They were desperate. During my first shift, I had to meet all the managers. It was one black guy, a white guy, and an Arabic guy. I thought it was the weirdest combination I've ever seen in my life. But at that time, I wasn't used to diversity. I grew up in all black schools, and we watched Roots every day. And now I'm in this new atmosphere that I know nothing about. I was uncomfortable, and it took me out of my character. And one of the managers there, he used to really get on my nerves. And he kept asking me all these personal questions that I was ashamed to answer. And I felt like he was trying to embarrass me because he knew I had such a rough past. So he would ask me questions like, "Where'd you go to college? Where did you work before here? How long have you been out of work? Tell me about your family. What kind of car do you drive?" And I would answer all those questions. "Oh, I haven't been to college. I haven't gone to college. I've been out of work for a while. Me and my family, we just aren't that close. I don't have a car right now." And those questions may not sound bad to some of you, but I feel that my answers weren't socially acceptable in our society, meaning I just thought I wouldn't fit in. And he would ask me these questions every day. And I just got to the point where I was mad at this guy. I had enough, and I just had enough of his questions. Because I just felt like he was trying to embarrass me, because he would ask these questions with the smirk on his face. So this one particular time, he asked me, "Where have you traveled to? Where have you traveled?" Jokingly, I said Akron and walked off, hoping he would leave me alone. But he didn't. This dude chased me down, and he goes, "Seriously, where have you gone?" So I told him the truth. "I've never been out of Ohio." And he smirks, nods his head, and walks away. It's small, but I was embarrassed. So me and this guy, we weren't scheduled to work together until like later the next week. And when that day came, I told myself, "Today, I'm not letting this guy disrespect me. I'm calling this dude out. Whatever happens, we got to settle it." And on that day, I get to work, and as soon as I walk through the door, he notices me and instantly starts smirking. And he shouts, "Hey!" And he flags me down, and I walk over to him. And I'm thinking, I don't know how this is about to go, because I'm tired of this dude. And he asks, he say, "Hey, I have a question. He goes, "Have you met my friends that come up here every weekend?" I said, "Yeah." He go, "Well, every year we plan a guys trip to the West Coast. And I know you never been on the plane. I was wondering if you wanted to come. Let's just say this guy name is Cook." What Cook didn't know was I was struggling with the thought that no one liked me. I was dealing with loneliness. In fact, I went home every night after work feeling worthless. And when he would ask me those questions, he was adding to the pain. But he simply was just trying to get to know me. I was in this new environment, and I didn't know how to adapt. Cook, being the good guy that he is, he wanted to take me on my first plane ride. But what he didn't know is he gave me some value. He gave me some self-importance. He didn't know that he was making a deposit. He deposited hope in me because I felt like I couldn't dream. I didn't think I could be somebody. I was hopeless. But when you start tapping into hope, that hope turned into faith. When that faith is developed, you start having expectations. When you start thinking you could be somebody, and you start thinking maybe God could use you, you start thinking you aren't too old to get in ministry. You start thinking perhaps I could give someone else this hope. Perhaps I could be like Cook. Since we're speaking of hope, I had the opportunity to go to an event called Hope Day. It's a Saturday morning dedicated to serving the community through a nonprofit called the Hope Exchange. It was an amazing opportunity. So I went to this event, and there was a ton of volunteers, and it started to hit me what this event was about. And the executive director, she started speaking to all the volunteers. And what she said, I just thought it was amazing. And I can't quote her word for word, but she says something like, "There are people in this community that's coming out looking for hope. Most of you came here expecting to give hope. But what's going to happen is you're going to receive hope as well." And that thought, that concept, I just thought that was amazing. You see, because hope is an exchange. Like, I bought this shirt from the Hope Exchange. Well, I didn't buy it. This lady bought it for me. She thought I was homeless. But if you look at this shirt, it says hope. It has a box. This box represents hope, and it has arrows going out of the box, which represents that hope is never ending. You give hope, you receive hope. You give hope, you receive hope. You give hope, you're going to see the fruit of it. Okay, sometimes you will not see the fruit of it. But in my opinion, that's the beauty of it. Just think about it. This guy at a bar gave me hope that I turned into a little bit of faith. Faith as small as a mustard seed. This guy gave me a little bit of hope. And now I'm at Strongsville Methodist Church trying to give hope to a whole community. You never know how far that hope that you provide is going to go. So my encouragement would be, don't lose hope in this world, but be the hope that's needed. Don't lose faith in God, but help bring heaven on earth. Because there's so many Brandons out there. And perhaps you could be that nosy friend named Cook and spark that hope.
When Jesus came and lived among us, he encountered people in need of hope. And Jesus, in his interactions and his healings and in his teachings, he offered people hope, which turned into faith, which in turn allowed them to share hope with others. And then Jesus, when he gathered with his disciples on that night when he knew he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified, he took bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. We ask that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory. We feast at his heavenly banquet. Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. Or receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup and receive both the bread and the juice at the same time. I invite Brandon Ford to help me serve, and invite you all to come as you are ready. Go forth now with faith in Jesus Christ to offer hope to others. Go in peace. Amen.